About 4 o'clock, the buses began to pour into the White House grounds. And here, our logistics went awry, because nobody, not even the Army, could seat 3,300 women in 15 or so minutes. After the first arrivals had waited nearly 30 minutes, Lyndon and I and Linda Byrd went out onto the lawn and into the crowd, which quickly engulfed Lyndon, women applauding, shrieking, and snapping his picture as he made his way to the shell. I welcomed them all to the White House and told them, since I knew they had been working so hard on serious problems for the last 3 days, that I thought they would just like to enjoy some music on the lawn. And so, let's indulge ourselves in the rarest of all Washington habits, relaxing and listening. Then I introduced Linda Byrd, and she introduced her favorite daddy. Still, the buses continued to roll up. Lyndon's speech was brief and light, and full of the sort of humor that I do not really like. Rather barbed it was, and not the thing he does best. Then he returned to his office and to work, because after all, this really was one of those expected surprise appearances, and he wasn't on the schedule. The American Light Opera program was just perfect. Gay, light, in the spirit of the day. Once more, Bess had scored an A+. When they finished, I returned to the stand because the last of our guests had rolled up right in the middle of the music program, and I wanted to greet them, too, and ask everybody to find one of the pretty striped tents for some punch and cookies. And then I descended into the vast crowd for handshaking and greeting. There were, according to the list, a good many governors' wives, congressional and Senate wives there, but they deliberately stayed away so that I'd have a chance to shake the hands of the folks from Rosebud and Dimebox, so to speak. In all that sea of humanity, with all those outstretched hands, though, how could you tell whose hand it really was? There were only a few Texans there, Mrs. Judd Collier among them, and naturally, for the best of all reasons, because today is voting day, the first primary in Texas. But one close by state, I think it was Delaware, topped the list with 296 delegates. I saw some old-time friends like Doris Cromartie from North Carolina and Alice Dunnigan. And of all things, Miss Lily Gresham from Texas. And I'm so glad Lyndon did have time to shake her hands. Democratic committee women are vice chairman, which is Millie Jeffrey of Michigan, Smay Gurevich, Georgia Niece Gray of Kansas, Doña Felisa Gautier from Puerto Rico, which is Mary Fantasia, and Mrs. William Eisman from the Canal Zone, and I never see her without thinking of the vote in 1960 in Los Angeles, when Kennedy had won overwhelmingly, and still, at the very end, the Canal Zone still voted for Johnson. Two ladies in the crowd identified themselves as friends of Virginia Durr. She has a long reach, bless her. There were such well-known names as Mrs. Edison Dick, Mrs. Michael DeSalle, and Collier Knutson. But mostly, they were just acres and acres of friendly Democrats, happy that the day was beautiful, and I hope that the welcome was warm. Finally, after about 45 minutes' traverse across the lawn, with infinite stops for pictures, I reached the White House door and made my goodbyes. Even the dogs got out to enjoy them, I understand. Well, this is the big day, and the polls will be closing, and the vote will be coming in. Walter came over and had dinner with us, pad in hand, as so many times in the past, waiting for those first phone calls. After dinner, Jack and Mary Margaret came in, and then we called and got David Brinkley and his wife and their house guest, the Norman Fishers, to come over and join us. Very early in the evening, it was obvious that John was a good, easy winner, holding an early lead and coming out close to 70% of the votes. Not so Senator Yarbrough. With a not-so-formidable opposition of Gordon McClendon, it was way along into the night until it looked like he had won by not too much above 52%, as I remember, which does not bode well for November and sends some long, long thoughts winging back to what John had said all along about Yarbrough's popularity in the state. The guests left by midnight, and we went to bed after a happy talk with John, with that good feeling that we'd done our best this day and luck had attended us.